Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We put the crab on here without even realizing we'd be next to the constellation here and under the full moon. You know, Todd Schuller, I've seen Johnny U behind you now and Johnny O and all the Johnnies behind you. The leg lamp is gone now. It's been replaced virtually by all sorts of things. By the way, my son has decided the leg lamp needs to come back home to Dundalk. So my son is claiming the leg lamp at this point. I'm working through this plague. My wife got her shot. We walked these streets of Baltimore into Patterson Park on a 70-degree night in March. Uncle Larry's opened the state up for business now. So put your delegate hat on, Todd Schuller. Tell me about life in Essex coming back to normal.
Opening 52. Day is 50%, right? Is that what they're saying now? So I feel really good. I'm one of these weirdos that religiously watches the numbers of vaccinations go into arms. And I watch the 7-day rolling average just go up a little bit. And I feel like we're going to be back to normal by Preakness time. I mean, normal is probably stretching it, but shots are going into arms. And you walking around, you know, your wife, obviously, with her illness, but you're starting to see the people on Facebook. You can't even figure out how they got the shot yet. You know, they're like,
"What the hell's wrong with you?"
You know, I'm not jealous yet. I've made this point. Like, I don't care. I want to see everybody's shots in arms. I want to see you put it on Facebook. I'm celebrating with you. But some of you, I'm starting to look at and be like, "Wow, all right. Well, you seem like a pretty healthy 45-year-old. So, like, what's your story? You know, like, I don't remember you teaching or working in a hospital, but
yeah, I stood in line down at CVS and they ran out at 6 o'clock. And I was there and they stuck me.
It's weird like that. I got a buddy from high school who's, you know, got one of those, you know, my grandmother in the nursing home, they had the extra, you know, like, and they were just looking for people. So it's coming. The doses are more and more there. We're going to move out of the actual plague. We're going to move into the locust plague and we're going to get the summer started off right.
Chocolate, salt and pepper, garlic. What do you go on your cicadas?
Deep fried and drizzled in chocolate, right? Isn't that how you eat anything?
I don't think anything would be right gross? If I'm not doing, you know, the cicada eating with some Wise Markets chocolates at the Heritage Fair. But Heritage Fair may be late for the locust. I mean, this is coming up on me that, you know, once they start spawning, and they're going to come earlier. I told you my Howard Jones Merriweather story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was late May. It was like May 30th or May 31st. That was in full bloom, and that was in 86. So, or 87, whatever year that was, 87, right? Prime.
Here's
number.
A challenge. I mean, I know you're working with all these local restaurants. I know you're excited. I know you're going to get your crab cake tour started off shortly here. Who is the restaurant that's going to grab the the bull by the reins? I don't know what the health department says about eating bugs, but
I was going to say the health department's going to have to be heard from.
But somebody's going to be able to come up with a recipe. Like, there's great chefs in these restaurants, right? There's guys that can make magic happen with shellfish and the like. I'm sure that there's something they can do with these cicadas. That
you were the one that had the conversation with the Moreton Bay bugs, right, in Australia? That was
yes,
because you're the crawfish guy,
right? Crawfish. Tulane Law School is a little.
But you have never eaten a cicada.
I have never eaten a cicada. I'm not going to have an opportunity to eat a cicada for another 17 years. I'll be 61 years old the next time the cicadas come around. Anything can happen. I don't take care of myself that well, you know. Like, I can't take the chance.
One cicada is not going to kill you.
Oh, heck no, no. But it is going to be able to check off the old bucket list, right?
So I had a woman on my Facebook page who's from Baltimore, lives in the DC burbs now, right? And she said that the last two times, sort of my age, I don't even really know, just a Facebook friend, follower, whatever, put up something about like that she had never really seen them the first two times. And I saw them really a lot more in 87 than I did in 04. Saw a few in 04. There were some places. Agreed. My wife got a little beady red eyes, but they weren't like prevalent in the way, because I lived in White Marsh, an area that had probably been unearthed in those 17 years.
I was in Overly. I was right around the corner, and I felt like you were right. Like, I wasn't, maybe just not out in the country enough, too close to the Beltway. But
you need to be somewhere where the earth hasn't been unsettled in the last 17 years, you know, not like the development where Paper Cup was in Owings Mills. There's not going to be any cicadas there, right?
Right.
So places where there are cicadas and seeing a lot of them, she had never really seen them. And she's like, I'm in a place where like the neighbors have said they're here and they're for real, that the land has been settled for 100 years and we're going to have a lot of cicadas. And I didn't want to tell her, and especially with my hair growing, and John Harbaugh brought out that, you know, that I'm working the David Cassidy 73, you know, partridge look. It's cool. That they get in your hair. The one thing I remember is they have, no, but if you have hair, they don't bite or anything. They're completely harmless. They kind of buzz a little bit. They kind of have like a little, but I mean, I've held them.
You know, I've held them more than
like a lightning bug, which I held a lot of those as a kid, and they sort of flitted a little bit. But cicadas will like seek out your hair and get in it, thinking to sort of burrow. Like I remember that part that they did get in hair. I had them in my hair.
Well, I was 10 in 87 and I grew up in Whitehall, which is up 83. And in those days, nobody lived north of Cockeysville. I mean, 83, you know, 83 is a parking lot now with everybody coming from Shrewsbury and York and all of that stuff. But like my parents were pioneers, man. I was out in the country. It was a plague of locusts. It wasn't
so when you were 10, you were 87, you had a lot of locusts.
I'm telling you, it was, I can remember the up skies darkening in locusts. Yes. That's what I want too. I mean, of all of the apocalyptic stuff we've lived through last year, let's get the locusts to darken the sky. Let's see what happens here. You know, like
because then we can Hitchcock on me, dude. You're going all birds on me.
We're living in weird times. Hunter S. Thompson, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Right?
You ever see a Hitchcock film?
Yeah, man. Birds. What's the where you get the ringing in your ear?
North by Northwest.
Yes, but that's not the symptom I'm looking for. Well, what's the
Psycho?
No. But I've seen Psycho. There is a condition where you get dizzy.
Vertigo.
It was a Hitchcock movie. He's climbing up the old clock tower and the old, you know. Yeah.
My friends from the Smithereens stole their blow up album cover from the Vertigo theme. Yes.
Oh, nice. All right.
By Northwest. Fantastic, a phenomenal movie. My wife's never seen it. My son and his daughter have never seen it. And we've been toying with this mythical movie night before the plague.
Right.
We talked about like, hey man, we should do movie night once a month or every other Tuesday or have like a little club for the family and we'll make recipes. You know, like stuff we were talking about doing that we never did. And then the plague came. We can't do it. Now we're talking about it again. So part of talking about it again is like trying to build a movie around it, even because I never see movies. And I'd rather play Monopoly with the kids or play, you know, just sit in BS, quite frankly.
You know, right. Yeah, I can't imagine you sitting through a movie and not talking. That has to be tough on you, right? Like sitting on your hands.
But I said to them, if we're going to see movies, we need to like see a hitch. We need to see like real movies. I'm not going to
watch. Yeah, cover the class.
We're not going to watch Adam Sandler movies, right?
Well, I mean, hold on. But yes, go ahead.
I'm not watching Adam Sandler.
That's your choice. I happen to love Adam Sandler.
Have you seen Coming to America yet?
I did.
Okay.
Right.
Did you like the first one?
Of course. But, you know, like sequels are bad. Sequels 25 years later.
Well, the worst part about it was 38 years. And
was it really? Wow. No, I'll buy it. It was in the 90s, right?
Hold on. I heard the number 38 years. Hold on. Let me see what year it came out. The original Coming to America, which you can't even find now, 1988. So it's 33 years.
It was, yeah, that makes a little more sense.
Well, but, okay. You know, like, the Beverly Hills Cop was 38 years ago. I'm sorry.
I was excited to have the Star Wars sequels come out. It's great to see Han Solo again, but you're not making that magic again, you know, like, you know, and that. So it was star-studded. It was great to see everybody, right? It didn't break any ground. It's not changing the landscape.
I'm wondering if it's 2 hours well spent. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, sure. What the heck, right? I mean,
I don't have 2 hours to waste. You know that. Come on.
Yeah. You're living the dream.
I'm promoting DamnGoodLawyer.com here. I'm building the Baltimore positive dream. Come on.
I would concentrate on different areas if I was trying to economize my movie viewing.
I have told my son and his wife that I believe Saturday Night Fever to be a fantastic movie. you know, and I think all these years later, when I think about outsiders, insiders, dancing, trying to be a star, trying to, you know, get laid, trying to all of those things, dancing, what you're good at, working at the paint store, eating the pizza, how your buddies are, conflicted emotions, crazy parents, religion. Saturday Night Fever had it all. My daughter-in-law's never seen it. My son's never seen it. My wife sort of like says, that's a cheeseball 70s movie.
It is. But it's an underdog tale. I mean, he's in there. He's like Stallone and Rocky. Travolta is, you know, like he's struggling to make a go. You know, like it's not just a final dance sequence. It's a classic. It's in there. I'm working my way.
I think it's a great movie. I'm just saying for my 35-year-old kid who's never seen it, and my wife who's seen it but doesn't remember much about it and probably saw the edited version, you know, on TNT or something, and knows all the songs. I mean, the music's great, right? It's good. Soundtrack's legendary, right? So I said to them, if I get to pick a movie that you should see, because they've seen Grease, you know, I'm not sitting through that again, right? If I'm going to sit through a movie I've seen a handful of times, you know, I don't want it to be Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Stripes at this point. You know, I'd love for them to see Network after what America went through the last 4 years with Howard Beale getting elected president. You know what I mean?
I'm getting through the classic cowboy movies myself. I just did Treasure of the Sierra Madre. We did High Noon with Gary Cooper. That's a good one.
Okay, so I've never seen High Noon. I would watch that.
It's good. It's all action all the time. Like, not all shoot 'em up cowboy, but like there's tension the whole way. Like, it's interesting to see how movies were built, you know. Like, it's even got the church scene from Blazing Saddles. I think it must have been the spoof of High Noon.
Have you seen like Casablanca and all the
Waterfront? Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen those.
You know, the AFI, when I was in college, the AFI, American Film Institute or whatever, put out their top 100 list.
And it felt like you needed to see them all, right?
Yeah, we were like 21, 22. We had nothing but time on our hands.
It's a Wonderful Life, all that.
Citizen
right?
Kane, yeah, like all of those. Right. Absolutely.
Although that's racist now. You can't.
Well, you know, the cancel culture, if we can play that game.
No, I don't want to do that. Let Fox News do that stupid.
No, I think it's important. I think Fox News reacts in a way that thinks that we're never going to watch Gone with the Wind again. I think what people are trying to say is you got to watch Gone with the Wind in context, you know, like if it's a celebration of the antebellum South, you got to know what that means. It doesn't mean that everybody alive in the antebellum South was a horrible person.
I would
person.
Say
it
it's like canceling To Kill a Mockingbird because the wrong result happened and we can't show that now. I think it's more important than ever that you show the wrong stuff and just point out and say, you know, that was a racist Bugs Bunny cartoon and it's probably not cool.
Yeah, like
to the Latin people, you know, or whatever, right?
I've done Peter Pan, like the old Peter Pan with my kids, and Disney has retold Peter Pan 15 times since then. So I've done it and it's really bad. And like, what it's about, and I was in a text conversation with a friend the other day, it was kind of the conservative, you know, it's about self-analysis. It's about ruthless self-analysis. So like when you know that you saw a depiction of Native Americans as buffoonish barbarians when you were a kid, like that's fine. It's okay. And we can discuss it and whatever, but you have to think to yourself, like, what has that done in my career, in my life? When I look across the table and I see a dark-skinned other lawyer, have I thought less of their ability? Have I thought less of that? You know, like,
well, even more so in the West, where there really are Native Americans struggling, and it's very, very obvious if you spend any time in Phoenix or Utah or Denver, you know, driven in through the West of America, that this is a real thing. You know,
right? Yeah, absolutely. There was a genocide.
That the Redskins and the Indians and the, you know, all of that. In sports was dramatically offensive to people who were depicted in that way. And to understand that is to be human. I would
to think. Understand it is to be
to
human,
be the human that your mother wanted you to be.
And to say that there's liberals like us running around and throwing all of this stuff in the trash. We're not, we're just asking ourselves to take a look at that, you know, like to understand what effect has it had on me, and what effect has it had on, I can remember, this is the truth, I'm putting it out in the public, but I remember being at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert with a rebel flag, you know, and I didn't think a thing of it at the time, but now I'm able to recognize if I'd have seen a black friend, a black person who wasn't a friend, what did they think I was thinking of them waving around my rebel flag, listening to Freebird? You know, like, to me, that's cancel culture. It's self introspection. It's thinking about the
way. That doesn't mean that you don't like Lynyrd Skynyrd anymore.
It doesn't mean that I love Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, and Lynyrd Skynyrd has put away the rebel flag because of its connotations, you know, and it doesn't mean it's canceled. It just means that we're thinking a little bit better. We're trying to
make friends instead of enemies.
And we're trying to do better, you know, as people. We're trying to grow. It's human evolution. We are evolving. When we look at Peter Pan as racially offensive in a way that we didn't when we were 10 years old, we have evolved. We've made that recognition of the folks out west that are,
and you want your kids to make that now that they're 10 or 12 or 14.
Yeah, you would hope that the next generation would look at the cartoonishness of those cartoons and think, there's better ways to depict people. And there are, you know, I mean, it started when I was a kid. I mean, the Burger King Kids Club, if you'll remember the Burger King Kids Club, but like, it was like, they had a kid from every, you know, the kid with disability and, you know, the kids of different colors. And
everybody was invited to have a junior Whopper.
Yeah. We still had like the white blonde kid was like the leader kid. And then there were, you know, all of his friends. I think as I watch my kids' entertainment now, you know, like there's so many women heroes. We just did Raya and the Last Dragon. That one's out. Do that instead of Coming to America.
Oh, my cousin had was Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you had Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman was kind of second fiddle. I mean, she was a Spider-Man at best. She was no Superman, right? But we have awesome women, you know, heroines, the Black Panther movie. You know, like we have all black casts of superheroes. Where I don't think my kid looks at that as the black superhero, you know, that's just the next man up Marvel, you know? So
it is amazing how we were raised, right? You know, I've talked about my childhood and your partner, by the way, Todd Schuller here, Blondell Miller Schuller, damngoodlawyer.com. They're in Essex. We try to get together when I'm not socially distancing and dropping off some Pizza John's pizza with him. But, you know, I've talked about this a lot in the last couple of years since I've moved my conversations, but just in my high school, in Dundalk High School and Turner Station, and having a Lily White elementary school, a Lily White middle school and high school, like how things really went along in the 70s and 80s, and they're not going along in this century, and that's probably not a bad thing. And the conversations we've had the last 4 years in the leadership, I think it's been tough, it's been difficult. But I think coming through the plague is something that's a commonality for all of us. Not to mention crab cakes, which you know I'm going. But I think we've all had a hell of a struggle here the last year, right? I mean, when all this is over with, everyone is a little beleaguered at this point and looking for, I think, some peace, some fun.
Well, that's coming. You know, like, yes, focus on the fun. But to beat a dead horse, just to stay on the tough issue, like, I think, yes, the coming through the crucible is going to make it better for better generations. And if we can look internally, that's all we're asking. We're not asking people to constantly, you don't have to be at the Oriole game and looking internally. You know, when that comes, when we're finally fans in the stadium, we're going to just party and we're going to put it all behind us and we're going to just not think about anything. But if along the way we think about how I went to Calvert Hall in the 90s, probably a little better racially than going to Dundalk in the 80s, right? Just by virtue of the passage of time. But that, you know, 90% of Calvert Hall was white and all the black kids sat at the same table, you know, like we
can
do better.
That's exactly the way Dundalk was.
We can do better, you know, like, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Coming through the only way to come through the crucible is to look in the mirror and to figure out how I can do better. And I think people that I've said this to people, like, you can forgive a kid that grew up in that environment, who was pretty much only around white people, who voted for the first black president, to pretty much just have assumed into his 30s that we were living in a post-racial society. And I think the events of the last few years have really held up a mirror and said, great fairy tale you've told yourself, you know, like, we're not there yet. You know, we still have a ton of work to do, and we still need, you know, radical self, you know, analysis if we're going to get our past it ourselves and get our kids past it and our grandkids past it. And we will, you know, we're moving in the right direction. It just hurts. It hurts. It's tough. It's, you know, it's political fodder. It's, you know, the Fox News rallying against cancel culture. It's that whole fight, you know, is just us coming through the self-recognition, you know.
We're getting shots, though. We're getting shot up here. Make sure everybody's getting vaccinated out there. Todd Schuller's here. He is with Blondell Miller Schuller there in Essex. They are a damn good lawyer, and they take care of people when you get in auto accidents and you have some of these workers' compensation issues, get injured on the job. Tell everybody what you do out there, Todd. Give me the elevator speech, aside from maybe eating a cicada sometime in a
So we're a personal injury firm. It's all we've ever done here. Our firm has been here for 40 years. Most of our staff has been here since before Mark and I were lawyers. Anytime
they know more than you.
It does.
That's a good firm.
Listen, here's the problem, though. They constantly remind me of that, you know? So I'm like the outcast of my own law firm.
That's not how we do it here.
Exactly. This is the way we've been doing it since before. Most of these people were here when I was hired and Mark was hired out of law school. And so they don't see me as anything but the 23-year-old kid fresh out of Tulane Law School.
All that gray hair coming in on the beard, they don't see any of that.
Doesn't matter to them. I'm just a kid and I don't know anything. But all we do is personal injury. So it's workers' compensation, it's car crashes, it is
reasons people don't really want to call you, but they need representation.
And you're never going to be better off. People are always saying, you know, insane stuff like, people are, oh, I wish I had a worker's comp case. I wish I had a. It's not true. You're not here to, because there's some boom that's been, you know, we're going to trick your way into or anything like that. It's nothing like that. It is when you're injured, your life gets turned upside down. Your checks aren't coming in. You're not working. You may be accruing bills in the hospital. You're relying on your spouse or the kindness of your parents or friends or whatever to survive. And you need somebody who's going to go get you the benefits that these insurance companies, we all pay insurance. We pay insurance every month. I pay workers' compensation insurance. You pay auto insurance, right? We pay these premiums to spread the risk amongst, and when one of us gets injured, you know, the insurance companies want to make a profit. They don't want to pay out like they're collecting, but we want to go get that money on behalf of our clients, and we do, and we're damn good at it.
DamnGoodLawyer.com, Blondell Miller Schuller. You've driven by, honk the horn on Eastern Avenue in Essex, and make sure you stop by and visit Todd as well, and you can find us at BaltimorePositive.com. Opening day, you going?
No way. I'm going to keep it safe a little bit longer, but I like the fact that it's opening up. Our office staff has almost all, at least those who are, you know, eligible, has almost all gotten the vaccination. My mom's got the vaccination. So I might not wait for my vaccination to loosen up a little bit. And I have a touch, you know, we got this beautiful weather this week. I know I'm going to sneak in a tea time out there at Pine Ridge, but
there's nothing wrong with that.
Nah, golf.
Feel guilty about doing something safe, dude. You know what I mean?
Right. But like coming into Cannon Yards with 20,000 people might not be there yet. You know,
I'm not there with 20,000 people.
To the folks that are, you know, like, I'll be watching. I'll be rooting. I love the Orioles. I love opening day. I love the fanfare around it. It's not gonna be me down there.
I was gonna say, man, you don't love the Orioles. You ain't got no Orioles in your picture there behind all the Colts. I see the Oriole. I see that, but I see the Oriole, the Coca-Cola from '83 that I also have.
Yeah. So that's the 83 series.
That's the 83 Orioles. I see it, yeah.
And so this is the 66. It's sort of a loose approximation of the headlines.
Right.
I got them. I got them mixed in. I got my Colts.
All I saw was Johnny O and Johnny U and Johnny Lennon is all I see behind you.
Johnny O's making some noise out there. Look out for him. I don't know. I don't know any plans yet, but you know, look out for Johnny.
Governor O, there he goes. All right, Todd, take care of yourself, man. We'll see you next week. My best to Mark. And by the way, Mark is going to come on and talk. He's promised me that when baseball starts, he'll come on and talk baseball with me.
He said you're working in back channels. You know, like you're not just relying on me to drag him to you. Like you're working on him.
I'm going to book him on. I'm going to get your partner, Mark Miller, on the show for the very first time. My lifelong friend, and I'm probably going to have to do an hour with him, even though he's like, only got 15 minutes, man. I'm like, dude.
Nah, he'll give you an hour. Just get him rolling.
We got to talk about the old times, and that's what he's not going to want to talk about.
Right, right.
I'm going to leave out the Lynyrd Skynyrd parts and all that, but I'm going to put in just the nuts and bolts of like who Mark is, your partner.
Right, right. Before he was Million Dollar Mark.
He was a hell of a basketball player. I keep telling you that.
Retrievers.
Todd Schuller joining us here. Blondell, Miller, and Schuller. He is he's the Schuller, and Mark is the Miller, and you can find them at damngoodlawyer.com. You can find us and all of our wise conversations at baltimorepositive.com. We have a new sponsor, and for that, we are eating better and spending less. We've been telling you a lot about nutrition and about spring and about good eating and good food. My wife and I are going to be whipping up some good food in the kitchen, that delicious black pepper garlic chicken that they do there, Wise. I got that on Eastern Avenue. Don't tell Fullerton and Rob Santoni, but that special garlic pepper chicken thing they do, that's the way we do tacos around here. My appreciation to Wise. We'll have some more Wise conversations ahead. We are WNSD.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. DamnGoodLawyer.com and Baltimore Positive.